Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 12, 2011. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need any help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you may also call me. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And if you folks that are listening on radio out there and don't use the Internet, which a lot of you don't, then please, you can call me for anything. And if you do call and you get the answering machine, please say your name slowly and your phone number slowly so that I may call you back and a hint as to why you're calling. But we will get back with you as soon as time allots. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's, well, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest will. So please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, in the second part of the program, I have a guest with us. He's an author. His name is Avi Lipkin. We're going to be talking about the Middle East and some of the various things that are going on. And he has wrote some books about Islam. He has been on this program, well, in 2007. And we have been on the air even before that. But he was on with us in 2007. Anyway, this Sabbath, folks, is the Day of Atonement. It is the one day in the Bible that we are called to fast. So technically, this is a double Sabbath this week. We must be right in front of the Father. And, you know, it says that we must afflict our souls, and so it means to fast and concentrate on Him. Now, to the Jews and the Israelites, this is the holiest day of the year. And so if you are grafted in and you keep the feast, do not forget to keep this feast and do not forget to fast. Now, I know a lot of you can't basically fast from food and water for 24 hours, like a lot of people and most of the Jews do during this period, while they also always wear white. Anyway, and the reason they want to wear white is because when they come, they're representing that when they come back with that heavenly army in white with Yeshua. Anyway, purity, white. Okay. But if you can't fast from food and water, you know, fast from some of the normal pleasurable things that you do that you can do without. Like if you were a TV hound every day, fast from watching your TV set and maybe eating meat or some kind of food. You know, try to concentrate on the Father during this. Remember, it's between you and Him. And you're not supposed to go around acting like telling everybody, oh, I'm fasting today, I'm fasting today. If you do, you spoil your blessing that you should have about it. You're supposed to anoint your head with oil and just go right on about it and fast and not tell anyone about it. Well, folks, then next week basically is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, with all these different calendars out there, boy, I'll tell you what, they need to just go, okay, I go with Israel's calendar. Israel Feast of Tabernacles starts on Thursday. That means Wednesday night at dark to Thursday night at dark is a Sabbath. Now, that is the calendar that they've been using for thousands of years. And that was a calendar that was basically in place when Yeshua was crucified. And would we not think that Yeshua used the right calendar at that time? I mean, the Jews were using the wrong calendar and they crucified him not on a feast day, but they thought it was a feast day. So how could things been fulfilled? Well, but anyway, whatever day you keep it, you know, I hope you have a blessed feast. Whether if you do an atonement this weekend or later in the week, or whether you start tabernacles. Some people are starting tabernacles right on Friday night. And some people are starting even a few days later than that. Well, really, this is all supposed to be unity. All these differences is not promoting unity. Anyway, but many of you folks out there are glad that we did not attack Syria. Well, it is now really not that we did not attack, but why? First, I really do not think the Syrian government did it. I think it was a setup by Obama and the so-called rebels to draw the USA into war and win it for the rebels, which are basically Al-Qaeda. That way, the way Russia is playing Obama now, he's playing him like a harp. Putin has just issued a statement, a warning to us. And here's just a few of his words. My working and personal relationship with President Obama is marked by growing trust. I appreciate this. I carefully studied his address to the nation on Tuesday. Remind you, Putin is KGB, and that's his game to do mind games and things. Obama's a lawyer, okay? So we have KGB versus lawyer. Putin goes on to say, and I would rather disagree with the case he made for American exceptionalism, stating that United States policy is what makes America different. It's what makes us exceptional. Well, it is extremely dangerous to encourage people to see themselves as exceptional, whatever the motivation. There are big countries and small countries, rich and poor, and those with long democratic traditions, and those finding their way to democracy. Their policies differ too. We're all different, but we must ask for the Lord's blessing, and we must not forget that God created us equal. Well, remember, Russians do believe in God, too. And I kind of freaked Stan Johnson out a few weeks back when I read him an article when we were doing the news and said, well, this is how one of the generals thought that they believed that Russia was going to go to war against the Antichrist. And, you know, Stan says, well, I really never thought about it from that point of view. But, yeah, they believe in God. Think about it. Anyway, but point being is they are playing us. You know what? Americans are exceptional. We have proved it time after time by stopping wars, feeding the poor, taking the Bible out to many nations, saving countless lives, so many people in the course of history. We have set human rights standards that the world has followed time and time again. But now we have let other gods into our country. Once a Christian nation, we have now become a nation that persecutes Christians. We promote the killing of babies on the altars of Satan, not only in America, but to the nations of the world. Remember, Obama is now paying for abortions in Africa. Oh, wait a minute. Obama doesn't have that. That's your money. Obama's using your money to pay for abortions in Africa and in places like Kenya, all over the place. But that's your money, folks, and you should be mad about it. America is kicking Yahweh out of all the public domains, yet the schools and the assemblies and the graveyards and even our brave soldiers are being affected by this. Our armies that once fought for righteous things, now it's opening the door to unrighteous people, the gay soldiers, and we have chaplains who are forced not to pray in Yeshua's name. Now, I love this country, and of course I support our righteous soldiers. I'm the first one to say I support our military, but listen, let's just go with this for a minute. How can the Father bless our warriors when part of our warriors are an abomination? We say now that man and man may marry in the United States. Really? Men and men are an abomination unto Yahweh. Just how and when did we get to this point? How did we, folks? and a sleep church that preaches a soft doctrine of love towards everyone, a church that does not point out sin, a church that wants to add coffee bars instead of going into the streets and dispersing coffee, so to speak, and the word to the poor. A church who turns the poor away from their doors so they can spend his money on huge steeples in the sky, or maybe tennis court inside, or basketball courts, and like church down the street from me, bowling alley, so on and so forth. Really, is this what Yahweh's money is supposed to go for? I mean, really. Especially when it's that big church that I'm speaking of is in a poor neighborhood. Now, they may have some program for the poor, but you really think they want they're letting in all the poor and homeless people to come in and use their tennis court and their bowling alley and so on and so forth? Really? Doesn't that money belong to God the Father? And you, again, if you're in a church that's doing those things, you know, the church, the money is given to the church, not, yeah, pastor's wages have to be paid. But that doesn't mean he has to have a Mercedes Benz. But, yeah, money is given to the church. How else could the church function? But the church is just a called-out group of believers. And so they're supposed to, like in Paul's time, they gathered all the things up. And that's what people says that the first century church didn't tithe. Well, that's completely off the wagon, because Paul says, bring me, gather up the tithes and the offerings on the first day of the week, so that when he came on the Sabbath, then, they could be dispersed to the poor. They dispersed it to the poor in other cities. And so that's what they were doing. And then, if you want to get technical, they gave everything to the church, because once they became part of those groups, they sold everything, and then they gave each according to his need. So they didn't care about wealth. They had had Messiah. They had a taste of Messiah, and so they really, they really didn't care about money. But, I understand you have to have money to function, but while you have money to function, the money that you're giving to the Father, which it's his anyway, the money that you're giving to him, are you sure it's being used for the right reasons? Is the cathedral or church that you go into is a place that just keeps getting prettier and prettier and prettier, and are all people really, really welcome in there? Or when a poor person comes in, everybody looks at him and you need to think about those things. Think about where your money goes. Anyway, let's go on with this. Why is the Christian church silent? Right now, Christian cities are being completely killed off by the Syrian so-called rebels. I'm going to read you this article. Barack Obama backed Syrian rebels that have dismembered a girl while she was alive. According to this story, and there was also a video report from it from Russia Today, that's RT. Now, it's pretty good when we now got to go look at Russian news to get honest news, because our news media isn't reporting these things. Well, why would Barack Obama be supporting these Free Syrian Army terrorists, the rebels, while they're burning down Christian villages, dismembering innocent young Christian girls while they're still alive? This is your president, remember, wants to support the so-called rebels. Barack Obama and these terrorists he's assisted have hit a new low. According to Mother Agnes, a Catholic nun who has been living in Syria for 20 years and has been reporting actively on what's been going on in the war-ravaged country, she carefully studied the video alleging victims of the chemical war weapons attack in a Syrian village of Ghouta in August, now questions its authenticity. The bodies of children and teenagers, this is her, the bodies of children and teenagers we see in the footage, who were they? What happened to them? Why were they killed? How could that happen ahead of the gas attack, ahead of the so-called gas attack? Or if they were not killed, where did they come from? Where are their parents? And how come we don't see any female bodies among all those supposedly dead children? Wow, that it brings to question. In fact, rather than blaming the Syrian government for terrorist atrocities taking place across Syria, Mother Agnes blames the Obama-backed Syrian rebels and claims that the atrocities being carried out by them far outweigh any number of actions taken by Assad-backed Syrian government forces, including dismembering a Syrian girl. Now, this is a Russian Times to Mother Agnes. Do you know anything about the fate of the hostages captured in Latakia and Mother Agnes. In the village of Estriva, they massacred all the residents and burned down their houses. In the village of Alcatria, most all of the 37 locals were killed. Only 10 people were able to escape. A total of 12 Alawite villages were subjected to this horrendous attack. It was a true slaughterhouse. People were mutilated and beheaded. There's even a video that shows a girl being dismembered alive. Yes, alive, by a frame saw. The final death toll exceeded 400, with 150 to 200 people being taken hostages. Later, some of the hostages were killed. Their deaths were filmed. Russia, now, wait a minute, before I go into Russia again, wait a minute. They're dismembering young girls with saws. Other reports talk about how they told these people in this village, they said that, you know, you turn away from your Savior, which they, Jesus Christ, they said turn away from Jesus Christ and accept Allah or you face beheading. And they beheaded him. While I was earlier today taping a radio program with Stan Johnson, a thing came in and I looked at it, and it shows it has picture frames that show a Syrian hostage. He reaches up and tries to protect his throat, and like there's 4 or 5 men around him, and they pull his hands down, and then they hold him to the ground, and you can see he cringes as they yank his head back, and then they behead him. And now these aren't quick beheadings like some people think. Oh, they put your head on a post or something, you know, or stump, and they take a big old sword and chop it off. No, it's a really gruesome thing. They take a knife and slowly saw your head off, or like one woman, I made the mistake of actually watching the whole thing. They stuck this like 3-inch blade knife into her throat, and then just kind of walked around her and cut it, and then twisted her head back until they could pop her head off. You know, that's disgusting. No longer it's gruesome, it's cruel, it's everything in the world. And the Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about people being beheaded for the witness of Yeshua. So how come the Christian church isn't screaming out about it? If we're all Christians, the churches in this nation should be in a state of mourning for their brethren. But I've had people on this radio program that they have been over there and visited, and say they come back and they try to get into the church and talk, and the church won't let them in. They say over 50, 60% of the churches, the pastors won't talk to them about it. They don't want that in the church. And why is that? Why? Because it doesn't fit with their nice little doctrine that they're going to fly out before the tribulation hits them. Go tell that to those Christians that are being beheaded and these horrific things, that they're going to fly out before any tribulation hits them. What a crock. You know, it, going on from that, you know, look at it. You know, you have a prosperity gospel in this United States that says, just give to me, just give to me, just give to me, and everything will set smoothly and say, it'll be smooth. You know, the Father says, and Paul repeated it in Corinthians, I think it was, he said that, for the Father chastises those that he loves. He is in consistent chastisement of us when we do bad things, so that we will be molded and changed into his image. We're not supposed to just believe in Jesus Christ and everything's going to be fine. No, everything won't be just fine. It will be just fine with your salvation, but it's not that you're not going to live some smooth, wonderful life, you know. It's going to be up and down. You're going to be persecuted. And that's where the persecution comes from, is evil people around. If the whole world loves you, then something's wrong. If you're Christian and you have a whole bunch of non-Christian friends that are just love you, well, then you really got to question and think about those relationships. Now, are you winning that person over slowly through your kindness? Or are when you're in their presence, are you acting totally Yeshua-like? Are you doing that? I'm not pointing a finger at any one of you, but if it hits your heart, you better consider it. And this is a time. Right now we're in these days of awe before atonement hits us. And those are awesome days. And you know, awesome doesn't mean, oh, cool, man, awesome. Awesome means terrible. You know that? Look it up in a strong concordance. from a King James Bible. When you use the word awesome in the Bible, it means terrible, fearful. You know, it doesn't mean, oh, real man, really cool. You know, let me give you another one. Well, and I use it all the time. People go, thumbs up. Yay, man, cool. You know, but you know what? That was actually instituted by the Romans. And it wasn't thumbs up, he lives. It was thumbs up and he's dead. And thumbs down and he lives. That's a fact. So, you know, we switch so many things around. But we serve an awesome God. We serve a great God. Our Father is, you should fear him. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge. You must fear the Lord. You must fear when you get a little bit, when the cashier gives you back some extra change. And you walk out of that store and go, wow, I just got a blessing. Or do you turn around and walk back in because something struck you in your heart? You know, that striking in the heart is the Holy Spirit, and that striking to the fear of God, because I know what it would be like to keep that money. They would be stealing that money. And so, but how many of you unknowingly steal the Father's money by giving it to the wrong place? I'm not saying, oh, pour it out and give it to me. What I'm saying is you might be able to do better with that money than that church that you're in. Because if that church isn't feeding the poor and spreading the gospel, and what's with the church just sitting in behind all the pews and everything? You know, are they sending evangelistic teams out to the poor? Are they out on the street? Are they witnessing? Are they out there praying for the people? Or are they trying to constantly increase? Or are they trying to have better shows to steal people from the church down the street that are already saved by building bowling alleys and social programs to draw people in when it's the word of the Lord that should draw them in? I don't know. We're in a funny place. Anyway, I need to go to a break, but before I go to a break, folks, we do really need your help. You go to prophecyhour.com, and there's a thing there that says donate, and you can click on that donate button. There's a link that if you want to do automatic donations, something that will come out of your card every week, you can do one $25, $50, whatever you want. There's a link over there to do that, either on that page or right there on my page link. There's a link to it. So, folks, prophecyhour.com, that's a hub for everything. Prophecyhour.com, there's something for Mission Watch over there also. But tune in, share with your friends, and folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with Al Elick. And
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities too. 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org. To order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Marks on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, folks, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that are barely keeping roofs over their head. They come into us looking for all kinds of donations. They come in for guidance. They come in looking for Bibles, food, clothing, blankets, first aid. We get no help from any organized churches or government agents. It's only folks like you that have supported us for now in our 14th year that makes this mission church work. You know, it's pretty silly. I mean, a lot of you would say that, you know, I live 60 miles from Wichita, Kansas. Yes, 60 miles. And I drive a 120-mile round trip just to get there. Or, you know, it's a round trip going and coming, just to get to the mission church. And yet there's over 800 churches there, and I'm still needed. When we open the doors, there's lines of people waiting to get inside. They're hungry. They need food. They need clothing. They need all these things. And there's over 800 churches there, and I don't get it. You know, I even have the big super mega churches call me and say, hey, I heard you have I got a homeless woman here with two or three kids. I hear you have a homeless program. Or I know you have a program, a homeless program. We don't. That's what I was talking about in the first half. The homeless program, they don't need a program. They just use their money and get them a place to stay, or let them stay in the church basement or in their bowling alley or something, you know. They need to do that. But are they? Apparently not. And so I'm not going to judge each one of them individually. The Father will judge them. But anyway, so why do so many people come to us for help? Love is the first answer, and they're treated as family, that's the second. Beyond that, we don't have any set guidelines, like the fella said, programs. People just walk in the door, and they ask, and that's the rule. You know, if I have it or we have it, we pray it in. We pray it in if we don't have it. This is why all the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Old Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the very last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And now we are back with, we are here with Avi Lipkin. Hello, are you there with me, Avi?
Great to be on your show, sir.
Yes, I actually had something written down here to talk to you about, and it seems to be a minor note. But you were on a radio program clear back in 2007. You were talking about Islam and basically in that book, a book that you had written, that you basically had predicted 9/11 was going to happen.
Well, yes, indeed. I am very, very fortunate that the Lord has given me a wife who was born in Egypt. Arabic is her mother tongue, and we're both Jewish, but I'm an American and she's an Egyptian, and because of her Arabic language capabilities, she works as a monitor for the Israeli radio services. She monitors all of the broadcasts in Arabic from our neighbors, the radio, the TV, cable TV, computers, newspapers, and I wrote my first book, is Fanatic Islam, A Global Threat, in 1997, 4 years before 9/11, based on information, of course other information as well, but based on information that my wife gave me, that she was listening in Arabic to what they were saying. And they were saying in 1997, and before that, that they were going to take American airliners and destroy them, and or crash them into the World Trade Center and other important buildings like the Pentagon. And so I put it in my book in 1997, and everyone said, you're crazy, and they would never do that. And then after it happened, oh, you're a prophet. I said, I'm not a prophet. I just live my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, other than the fact that we're other worms out there, that's pretty amazing right now. And one thing, let's go with this. With the current goings on, what's your take on this whole Syrian debacle? I mean, surely it's worse for Israel.
Okay. In my humble opinion, there are three levels to the Syrian crisis. The first level, which is what you hear about in the American media, is the humanitarian crisis of civil war, any civil war. And, of course, added to that is the use of poison gas, which nobody can tolerate. Now, the question is it only one side or is it both sides using the poison gas? And so, of course, it is a humanitarian crisis. Out of the population of 20 million Syrians, 3 million have fled the country and are refugees across borders in Turkey and Iraq and Jordan. And even some wounded people are coming into Israel for medical treatment in Israeli hospitals. So that's the first level that everybody understands. Should the United States get involved? That is a question which everyone is asking. Let's go to the second level, and then let's go to the third level. And after we go to the second and third levels, then your listeners can decide for themselves whether or not America should act.
Okay.
The second level is Israel and Iran. Now, of course, a bombshell or missile killing 1,300 people with poison gas is a horrible thing. But worse than that is a nuclear bomb falling on a city, killing tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. And so the primary concern, in my humble opinion, is the nuclear threat of Iran. Iran is racing towards a nuclear capability, and we're not talking about one missile or one bomb. We're talking about dozens and maybe more of nuclear weapons that the Iranians want to prepare and to threaten the Saudis, threaten the Gulf states, threaten Israel, threaten U.S. military bases in the Middle East. And actually, the Iranians have missiles that can hit Europe today. So Iran is becoming it's already a regional threat, but it's going to become a global threat. And, you know, the Israelis have been complaining about this for the last 10 years. My third book is called Islamic Threat Updates Almanac Number 1. It was written in 2003. So we're talking about 10 years ago. And that book already talks about the Iranian nuclear threat. This is not a new thing. The Israelis, the Americans, the Germans, the British, the intelligence services of all these Western countries are all working together to try to understand what is happening in Iran with the nuclear threat. Now, why are bringing this? The reason is because if anyone attacks Syria, Syria has promised to take out retaliation attacks on Israel. If Syria or Hezbollah in Syria and Lebanon or Iranians decide to attack Israel, then Israel will then obviously not only have a green light, Israel will have to go in and take out the nuclear project, which is something which I believe is totally coordinated with the U.S. military. So that is the second level that we have to look at. What is happening in the Syrian civil war? Very interesting. But underneath that, there is a much more dangerous threat, and that's Iran. The third level is the international level with Russia and China backing the Shiites, backing Bashar al-Assad, and the Americans and the Westerners and the Sunni Muslims backing the Sunni rebels in Syria. And, I don't think that the Russians and the Chinese would be stupid enough to get into a world war with the United States and the West. But you have to remember, World War I started because of one bullet killing a prince in Austria, or actually in Sarajevo, and this Austrian prince was the ruler, and when he was killed, the Austrian government demanded the extradition of the Serbian assassin. The Serbs said no, and so the Austrians declared war on Serbia. When the Austrians declared war on Serbia, the Russians declared war on Austria. When Russia declared war on Austria, the Germans declared war on Russia. When Germany declared war on Russia, the English and the French attacked. So that's how world wars happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of thoughts on the third one. Number one, Vladimir Putin seems like, after Obama and our Congress didn't look like they wanted to vote for war, naturally, but with Obama saying he would hold back, it seems like right afterwards he seems emboldened, like he's going to build more reactors in Iran, and he has more ships now in the Mediterranean. Do you think that Obama blinked, so to speak, and that Putin took it as a sign of weakness?
Well, this is, of course, probably true. I'll add another thing, and that is that today it was reported in Damascus that there was another gas attack, another poisonous gas attack in Damascus. Again, who did it? Was it the rebels or was it the Damascus government of Bashar al-Assad? But the point is that these chemical weapons are being used very freely now. And if President Obama blinked, then, the Russians are laughing, the Iranians are laughing, the Bashar al-Assad regime is laughing because nobody takes Obama seriously. And, these people, these Russians and Chinese and others, they smell the blood in the water. They can feel that America has been so weakened by Obama. And even before Obama, I heard all the way back, I travel all around this great country, the United States of America.
Right.
I have churches all over the United States. And people told me that even George Herbert Walker Bush, after Desert Storm, immediately started shutting down bases and cutting back the military. And Clinton did it with a relish. And even George W. Bush had to shut back, some of these bases. So Obama's not doing anything new, but the message being radiated today is that America's a paper tiger, and basically the Russians and the Chinese are going to fill the void.
Yeah, absolutely. But these chemical weapons and with them being emboldened, isn't this very perilous for Israel?
Absolutely. And indeed, what they're saying is, hey, if Obama chickened out regarding attacking Bashar al-Assad, they say to themselves, hey, we can attack Israel with impunity, and the United States will not stand with Israel. Or if Israel gets into a war with Iran and eventually ends up attacking the nuclear project, they're going to say, hey, America's not going to stand with Israel. Israel's going to be all alone. We smell the blood. We're going to go in and destroy Israel. You're very right.
So, on that point, I believe wholeheartedly that Iran is developing nuclear weapons, or probably has them. When they do bring them out, they'll probably not have one or two, but a whole, like 100 or more of them. I think that's why they're doing so much. But won't Israel have to soon do something about it? Or isn't there that red line?
That's indeed what it would seem. Yes.
Well, it seems like it's getting very much closer. By the way, while we're talking, how can people find you on the internet? I know I had it up here in front of me, but like I say, I misplaced those notes.
Okay. Well, indeed, people can order my books, CDs, and DVDs, and visit my website at vicmord.com. V-I-C, V-I-C like victory, and then M-O-R-D like Mordecai. So vicmord, V-I-C-M-O-R-D.com. And people can also write to me through the website. And also people can order the books only from an 800 number, 1-800-540-0828, 1-800-540-0828. The CDs, DVDs, and books are all there on the website. Bookstore books only from the 800 number.
I remember now what I had in my notes that I wanted to ask you. I was looking at your website and looking at a an older, I guess it was a newsletter article or something you wrote, and you made a comparison about Hitler being psychotic and then made it a comparison to Islamists. Do you remember that article?
Of course. Yeah. It's one of my favorite teachings. And the reason I say that is because I honor you especially for having a convicted criminal on your program. I got a 3-year jail sentence in Switzerland for telling that joke.
Really?
I'll tell the joke.
Sure. Go ahead. I can't wait to hear it.
Okay, well, you know, the joke goes like this. What is the difference between neurotic people and psychotic people? Neurotic people dream about castles in the air. Psychotic people live in castles in the air. And psychiatrists collect the rent. And so the joke is that Adolf Hitler was psychotic for many reasons. I'll give two. He thought he could conquer the earth, and he thought he could kill the Jews. Now, can anyone conquer the earth? Of course, the answer is no. The Persians tried it, the Greeks, the Romans, the Mongols. You know, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, they're all psychotic, crazy, living in castles in the air, thinking they could conquer the earth. The second thing is Hitler thought he could kill all the Jews. Now, the human race is divided into two. You have believers and you have non-believers. Believers are those who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the Jews and the Christians, believe in the book of Jeremiah 31:35, that paraphrase says there will be no more Jews on the earth when the moon, the sun, and the stars stop shining, which means there will always be Jews on the face of the earth. That's God's word. But for those who are Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims who don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all know that the Jews have been scattered to the four corners of the earth. If you can't conquer the four corners of the earth, you cannot reach the Jews to kill all of them. So you understand why it's a psychosis. So what does Islam believe? It's going to conquer the earth, psychosis number one. Kill all the Jews, psychosis number two. Unlike Hitler, psychosis number three, kill all the Christians. Jews on Saturday, Christians on Sunday. Psychosis number four, kill 1 billion Hindus. Psychosis number five, kill 2 billion Buddhists, including the communist Chinese. And I recommend to the Muslims not to mess with the communist Chinese. They know what to do. They don't have the ACLU. And psychosis number six, psychosis number six is that 1/6 of the human race can kill 5/6 of the human race and get away with it. Psychosis number seven, after 1/6 kills 5/6, the 1/6 kills each other, meaning Islam is a religion of peace when everyone is dead. There are no more human beings on the face of the earth. And then seven, you know, after they kill each other, when you die for Allah, you get 72 virgins. Now, you told me that that's not a psychosis. So I was in Switzerland, and I said Islam is not a religion. Islam is a criminal psychosis worse than Nazism. And if you don't terminate Islam, Islam is going to terminate the human race. So I do a 3-year jail sentence for that. And I also said that Allah is not God. Allah is Satan, Lucifer, the devil himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I agree with you, but I will use my I know the Jews will always be here. I will say this about the Muslim religion, and it's to the folks out there, because I'm sure you already know this. You know, we of course believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They say Allah has no son, so therefore, you know, that brings up quite a problem. But you're awful brave to say that. So you were actually living in Switzerland when you got in trouble. Did you go to jail for it?
No. I was invited by a Christian political party called the EDU. The EDU invited me as a technical. I spoke in 23 German-speaking cities in Switzerland. The Muslims wanted to put up minarets. Minarets are these tall spires. And they have loud broadcasters up on top of the spires. And at 4:30 in the morning and five times a day, they broadcast Allahu Akbar. Now, Allahu Akbar at 4:30 in the morning is going to wake you if you live within 3-4 miles of radius of that call. You're not going to be able to sleep. You know, you heard of Sheboygan, Wisconsin? Sheboygan, all the liberal Christians and Jews allowed the Muslims to put up minarets And what happened? The noise pollution was so horrible that everybody, Jews and Christians, picked up and left. They sold their homes to the Muslims, and they got out of there. So I said to the Swiss, I said, you know, if you allow these minarets, you are allowing them to proclaim that the devil is greater than God, because Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater than God. Allah is greater than the Judeo-Christian God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, praise God, on November the 29th, 2009, they held a national vote, a national referendum, and the Jews and the Christians together voted down the minarets by 57.5% to 42.5%. And praise God, you know, we defeated Islam on this motion. And but I drew a 3-year jail sentence. The Muslims were not very happy with me.
Well, you know, I think that our political correctness in the United States is killing us off towards the Muslims. I mean, you know, they are silencing Christians more and more inside the United States, but it seems like that they're giving Muslims more freedom. By the way, did you hear what happened to the Million Man Muslim March in Washington, D.C. yesterday?
Tell me.
Well, they had only had about 200 people show up because the motorcycle riders, the bikers in this country, decided they were going to counteract it, and they had over 2 million bikers pass through the city, and so, you know, not very many people showed up.
Praise God.
Praise God. But that's
you
the
know,
point.
I have to tell you a little story. I was at a church in Edmond in Oklahoma, and the Muslims were complaining about why the pastor was allowing me to speak, and they said they were going to demonstrate. And the church was packed out. The Muslims never showed up, but Channel 4 and Channel 5 in Oklahoma City showed up. I received a very nice offering from the church, sold a lot of books, CDs, and DVDs. And so I said to the pastor, please make sure every time I come to your church that the Muslims are notified in advance so that they can protest and make a big fuss, and then the church will always be packed out.
Yeah, amen. We do, and for the record, we do need to use them to our advantage, because they are they really are trying to change, instead of assimilate into the country, they are trying to change us. Do you agree or disagree with that?
You know what? Let me tell you something, sir. My wife, Rachel, like I said before, monitors the Arabic language broadcasts of our neighbors. And when she started working in the radio in Israel 30 years ago, they were saying, and she thought they were crazy, they were saying that within 150 years, America would become a Muslim country. Now, my wife listens to them, and they say, America is a piece of cake. We thought America would be Muslim in 150 years. We were wrong. America will be Muslim in 30 years. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but one of the things I'm sharing, I don't know if you heard of Prophecy in the News with Gary Stearman, but I did, I did a TV show with them where I was saying that the Arab Spring, the purpose of the Arab Spring and the reason the American government supports the Muslim Brotherhood is to bring about a collapse of the economies of all of these countries, because what their plan is to kill the Christians in Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. When you kill the Christians, you destroy the economy. When you destroy the economy, the remaining Muslims starve to death. When they starve to death, they pick up and they leave. They go to America. And so Obama is going to bring 50 to 100 million Muslims to America. The Saudis will pay for the housing boom that's going to take place as a result, because you've got to build homes for these people.
Right.
And, of course, I imagine you've heard of Agenda 21.
Yeah.
Agenda 21 basically says the U.S. government can confiscate forests, national parks, private properties, anything it wants, and then they can set up entirely brand new cities for these Muslims, 50 million Muslims, 100 million Muslims.
Right.
Because what's going to happen in the Middle East is that hundreds of millions of Muslims are going to starve to death when it's all said and done. And it's the work of their own hands, because their God is the devil.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do agree with you about that, and America needs to wake up, most assuredly. 30 years, wow, that's amazing. You know, already, that's what I want to talk about. You know, you were just referring to them killing off the Christians. In the first part of this program, I was talking about the nun that was reporting from one of the cities in Syria, and talking about how the rebels come in and were dismembering even a young girl with a saw and beheading people. It's just, you know, they're slaughtering Christians right now, but what bothers me so much about it is, yeah, they're slaughtering Christians, but America, the news media, except for alternate news media, seems to be quiet on it.
I, my wife Rachel monitors the radio broadcast of the Islamic world, and they say very openly that they're going to defeat Christianity. We're talking about a Holocaust. You know, you had a Jewish Holocaust in World War II, 6 million Jews. We're looking now at a Holocaust of Christians, of 15 million Christians in the Middle East. The end of Christianity in the Middle East, and the media is not saying anything. And what happens is they kill the Christians, they destroy their economies, then they're starving, then they come here to America, then they're going to kill the Jews and Christians in America, because that's what they get in their mother's milk. Their God is the devil. Their God is Satan. So do you understand why I have a 3-year jail sentence for saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate you being on. I pray that you'll come back sometime. Victor, people can get a hold of you to maybe come and talk in their church or something and all of those things and get your books. Tell them where your website's at, and I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. Please.
Okay. www.vicmord, V-I-C, like victory, V-I-C, M-O-R-D, like Mordecai, vicmord.com, and the 800 number is 1-800-540-0828. And, of course, I recommend to your listeners to go to Google search, YouTube's, look up Avi Lipkin. You'll have homework for 6 months.
you're out there a lot. Well, thanks a lot, brother, and don't go back to Switzerland. Anyway, be blessed, brother. I love you. We'll talk again.
God bless you. God bless America, and I love you, too. Thank you.
All right, goodbye and shalom. All right, folks. Wow. You hear that? This is why I like to talk to people that have, like him, okay, his wife interprets. She listens. They say America's gone in 30 years. They are planning a Holocaust of America. They're planning to slaughter all Christians. Don't you get it? These people are the armies of the Antichrist. That's who they are. Wake up and smell the roses. That's what it is. And we've been, how long have I been saying this on this program? Probably ever since I've been on this program. So you need to do this, folks. You need to concentrate. You need to speak out. Because what's coming to America isn't pretty, and what's happening right now is not pretty. Those folks, those Christian martyrs that are dying right now, and that's what they are, is martyrs, shouldn't have to die in vain. Okay. Pray about support our mission, church. We really need your help. When you hear this broadcast, if you want to keep hearing these broadcasts, too, you need to support what we do. Pray about a donation. I know even as big as $1,000, we really need your help. Pray about a one-time donation of $1,000 before the feast. Anyway, remember, there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember that. 3 days and 3 nights. That's his sign. That's the only sign given to a wicked and adulterous generation. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there will be no peace till he returns. Lord our God, Father Yahweh, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or no one else. Until 1 hour from now, 7 o'clock, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.